First, we look at our reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, Stephen's arrest. It says that St. Stephen, as you know, is one of the seven deacons of the early church. He's described as filled with grace and power. This is a different word that was used to explain the Blessed Mother when the Blessed Mother was Caceratomene, one who has been perfected in grace. This is a different word that the Greek New Testament uses. But Stephen is filled with grace, not in the same way as our Blessed Mother, but he is filled with grace in the way that you and I should be filled with grace, being in the state of grace and the state of friendship with God. So Stephen was filled with grace and power. So he was so in tune with the Holy Spirit, he had power in his life. He was working great wonders and signs among the people. The people debated him, but they were no match for Stephen. It says, because of his wisdom and the Spirit with which he spoke. So he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with power and wisdom from God. He had these gifts of the Holy Spirit in his life. You know, we study the gifts and fruits and virtues and graces of the Holy Spirit in confirmation. Stephen had these fully operative in his life. In our life, they're there, but they're not stirred up. The good analogy is if you have milk and you pour chocolate syrup in it, that'll sit at the bottom like at an inch thick. What do you have to do? You have to stir it up. You have to stir it up. So Stephen had the Holy Spirit in his life. We have the Holy Spirit too, obviously, but for us it's not yet stirred up. We have to allow Him to stir that within us so we have power and wisdom and the Holy Spirit. They even came against Him with false teachings and all sorts of misquotes. And yet, even though the Sanhedrin was going after Him, they were no match for Stephen because he had the Holy Spirit on his side. And it says that his face looked like the face of an angel. It was so beatific. It was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then in the Gospel of St. John, just a few words about John chapter 6, verse 22. The Lord had just fed the 5,000 men. And then he walked on the water. And then, of course, a few paragraphs later in Scripture, you see Jesus giving his great discourse on the bread of life. And isn't it interesting that before the Lord gave his teaching that he was the bread of life, he worked two miracles that would connect the Eucharist. One, he multiplied the bread, which showed he had power over bread. And then he walked on the water, which showed he had power over his body. So you should not miss that. A lot of people miss that idea. That in John chapter 6, first, he works a miracle showing he has power over bread. And then he walks on the water showing he has power over his body. This was to help prepare the minds and hearts of the disciples for what he was about to reveal to them. That he is the bread of life. His flesh is true food. His blood is true drink. And that the Lord had set the stage again for the revelation of John chapter 6, the Eucharist. And the last point that I think is very powerful in today's scripture is when the crowd is looking for Christ, they can't find him, they're confused because they see the disciples' boat, but they don't see Jesus' boat is there, but the disciples is not. Of course, they didn't realize the Lord took a stroll on the sea. That's how he got out to the disciples. The disciples had their boat with them. But then when they were looking, they realized that the disciples weren't there either, nor was Christ. And so the crowd wants to find Jesus. And so they get into their boats and they go across the Sea of Galilee. Eventually they track him down. This vast throng of people now comes to find Christ. And Jesus sees them coming and said, Amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. In other words, they weren't looking for Christ, they were looking for free food. They wanted another happy meal, right? They wanted to be fed. This was a pretty good person to have around. We don't even have to bring a picnic lunch, right? Just hang around Jesus and He'll feed us all the time. That's what they wanted. They were looking not for Christ, but for the benefits of Christ. That's a good message for us as well. Do we want Jesus, or do we want the consolations of Jesus, the peace that He brings and these other things? Do we focus on Christ or the blessings that Jesus gives us? It's good for us to ask ourselves that question. And then Jesus says, do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life. See, most of the world gets up every morning and spends their whole day working for food that perishes. And obviously we have to pay the bills, you have to feed your family, you have to put food on the table. Of course, we have to do those things. But if we spent our entire life focusing on material things, the food that perishes, we will wind up not in a good place. We have to work for food that endures for eternal life. And that is our relationship with the Lord. It is grace. It is virtue. It is holiness. That is the food that lasts forever, the spiritual life. So we have to make sure we put effort as well into our prayer life, into our spiritual life, because that is the food that lasts forever. We all work for food that perishes, of course, but don't neglect what really counts, which is the food that lasts for eternal life, grace and holiness, and our relationship with the Lord.